Okay, high time now for our tune of the week.
Come on, let's go.
This is the Media Industry Guru Show, the show that exposes you to entertainment, music, film, TV, and tech.
We're online 24/7. 24/7.
You're listening to the hottest internet station.
Hey, Jake, welcome to the Media Industry Guru podcast. Very excited to have you on. Looking forward to hearing more about your very eclectic experience, I should say, within the live events space.
Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to chat.
So I know you've been obsessed with music, but and playing in garage bands growing up, right? Tell us like what got you interested in being a musician and then switching over to the business side.
So it's I've just always like wanted to be involved in music. It's kind of, it's cliche, but it always kind of felt like one of those things that like, it wasn't just an interest. It was, like you said, like an obsession. You know, mm-hmm. as a kid, I, you know, would, you know, spend hours in like the CD stores, you know, back when those were a thing, and
sure.
just kind of, you know, from, you know, I grew up in a household that really valued music. You know, we mm-hmm. always had the radio on. I grew up in Philadelphia, and there was a really good alt rock station that would just play everything. So I grew up listening to, you know, Queens of the Stone Age, and then it would move into, you know, like I have a weird thing in my head where I connect Dave Matthews Band with Queens of the Stone Age because they would always be in the same block, block of songs on the station, and then also just, you know, yeah, so that's really, yeah, I grew up kind of in a musical household, just that mm-hmm. really enjoyed music. And then, you know, I tried playing guitar, turned out I was terrible at it. And truthfully, as a kid, didn't have the discipline to get better. And then, actually, funny enough, the game Rock Band came along, and I went to a friend's house and I played the drums on it. And I realized, I'm not terrible at this. And so that kind of put me down the rabbit hole of, you know, playing drums. And, you know, I saved up money from a summer job and bought a drum kit. And mm-hmm. I would just, you know, through all of high school, would just have like friends coming over to play in our basement. Which thanks to our neighbors who didn't call the cops because it was a row home in Philly, so they definitely heard every terrible song that we played. And so then, like through college, I was playing in, you know, a couple bands, and I you know had kind of the realization I needed an internship my senior year, and a friend of mine recommended me for an internship at a venue in Washington D.C. And I was thinking, you know, I've been wanting to get my band booked here for years. Mm-hmm. If I work there, I can talk the guy booking into booking my band. And that kind of launched my career into the venue side of things. You know, I started there as a, you know, an intern and filling mm-hmm. in on, you know, box office and security. And then kind of just was that person that, you know, I was like, if they needed help with something, I would do it, you know. And I learned a lot from the people that worked there. And, mm-hmm. you know, eventually I moved to New York, and some connections from the DC scene helped get me in touch with Arlene's Grocery. I got hired there, you know, doing marketing for them initially. And, you know, I was filling in shows on the calendar, you know, when we had open mm-hmm. dates, I was just booking bands that, you know, in New York that I loved, or, you know, I realized pretty quickly, you know, there's a lot of, everyone's looking for a gig there. And so sure. mm-hmm. just did some outreach. The talent buyer left, and they were like, well, you're booking shows here anyway. Do you want to just like start booking? Do you want to just be, you know, the booker? And so they hired someone else who I'm still very close with. And we were the booking team there for like almost 3 years.
Wow. That's really impressive. I know. I want to take a few steps back though, because I
for
know
sure. That was a lot. Yeah.
Business experience and have some very memorable highlights in there. But one of the things that really stood out to me in your bio as well is you formed this college band, and one of the your songs got licensed in an Amazon movie. Tell us about that experience, what that was like, that process, and what was that feeling?
So I went to American University, and I studied audio production there and quickly realized I was a bad audio engineer. So I moved into business classes, and one of the classes I was taking was on, you know, music and film and the business of it. And so my professor, John McHugh, who now runs the music industry program at Loyola New Orleans, he, you know, in class, basically one day he was like, who are the musicians in the room? And it was me and my bandmate and our friend Spencer, who's a really talented rapper and MC. And he was like, look, I've got this movie. They need a song that's kind of hip hop leaning, but also rock. We can't, basically we can't license the actual song. Do you guys think you can throw something together? Do you guys think you have any, you know, there's any way you can do it?
Sure.
And as he was done, we were just like, no question. So we went, American has a beautiful recording studio. And we all booked out time that night. You could only book in 4-hour blocks. So my bandmate booked it, and then I booked it, and then my other bandmate booked it, and then Spencer booked it. And we just did like an all-nighter marathon session, writing, recording, mixing, and editing. And by the end of the week, we had a song over to them, and it got cleared. And it's, you know, it's funny because it wasn't something, it happened so organically, and it was just kind of, it was a real challenge, but it was just one of those things that I, you know, it was, looking back, it's a reminder of, you know, helping artists win, because it's something that, like, that feeling from that, you know, when I got the call of like, hey, you guys are going to be in a movie, you know, like that's nothing can like recreate that feeling.
Yeah, it's very rewarding, but also at the same time, you get that learning experience, just growing and evolving with your band members, and then also seeing the business side, because your professor taught you that acumen as well. Did he kind of act as one of your biggest mentors, or did you have any other mentors along the way to kind of be more in the venue side of the industry now?
Yeah, tons of them. It's actually funny, just one more footnote with that story is, because he was the one basically representing the movie, I actually had to negotiate the contract with the guy who had taught me everything.
That's funny.
So it was just kind of funny, like going through and like redlining the contract and just being like, oh, I know about this. And it was just it was a really he took good care of us, and there wasn't anything in the contract that would have been bad, but it was just funny because I got that like real life experience negotiating against literally the person that taught me how to do it. No, I've had plenty of mentors on the venue side that I still try to keep in close contact with. You know, one of them is Grace Gibson, who was the previous Arlene's Grocery talent buyer, who now she's talent buying for a group of venues in the Southeast. Molly Warren at Live Nation Philadelphia, she's the VP, I think, of the market now. And then Jillian Satcher, who was the marketing manager at Live Nation Philly when I was there, and she's now a tour marketing executive at CAA, who I would say I talk to her so much. I really try to be a sponge, and she's just been so gracious with her time, and she is one of those people who, whenever I have a question, I'll be like, Jill, can we talk?
No, it's good to have those mentors, because then you learn, and then they can also learn. It's kind of like this give and take relationship.
Totally. But I've been really fortunate and lucky to have people who have looked out for me and, really invested time and effort to help me learn. And I try not to take that for granted. And it's something, I try to be an open, source for anyone who's trying to learn as well. Try and just like pay it forward.
And learning the experience about the live event space, I know a lot of the times I've spoken to numerous people on my podcast, and the education can only take you so far. You can learn the theory, but you also have to put into practice.
Oh,
So
yeah.
what were some of the skills that you learned on the job being a talent buyer, and what are the day-to-day responsibilities like?
Talent buying is, I mean, I always joke. I mean, currently I'm in a marketing role at my current job, but I mean, talent buying for me, to me, is you have to be, you're an accountant and you're a lawyer with good music taste, but you're not, you don't have the degrees for either of them. You need to, keep track of finances, you need to negotiate, you need, and all that in the name of, highly curated programming and filling a calendar. On the marketing side of things for me, I really, because going into my current position, I hadn't marketed, been a show marketer really since, or a dedicated show marketer since my first few months at Arlene's. I really, hit the ground running and just, learning, talking to people. I think something that's really, that you really need to be mindful of on the marketing side of things is who your fans are. And what the proper way of messaging to them, what, it sounds common sense, but where are your fans? I mean, if I have, an older punk show, I'm not going to be advertising on TikTok. If I have, if I have, an EDM dance party, maybe I'm going to, okay, cool. I'll look into Snapchat, looking at these different platforms that these communities live on. And seeing where I can put ad dollars, just because that's been, so much of show marketing, is just, making sure that you're hitting the right people and giving them the option to buy, because you can never force a person to buy.
Yeah, no, that totally makes sense. Like different types of like artists that come in, especially when marketing artists, it depends on the genre. There's so many different variables, and then the
Totally.
artist has to market themselves. It's not just hiring like yourself, like a marketing director, and saying promote this show and like posting it on socials. It's also the artist has to reciprocate and kind of be in line with the marketer. Would you say that?
Totally. And I think, a lot of that, a lot of what I do is pushing up and propping up what the artist has already built themselves. Like there, if we're breaking an artist in a market, typically, we're starting from, a smaller developing act level. And so it's really helping them make new fans in the market and introducing an artist to the market. So it's really important to have a dialogue with whoever is on, whether it's the artist themselves, whether it's their representation, and just, figuring out how to tap into not just fans, but prospective fans. And a lot of what we do and a lot of what I do is, centered around what we call combo marketing. And that's, lumping multiple shows within a similar genre into single pieces of like ad creative or just, ad assets. And that's, whether we do a lot of postering campaigns with our street team. And it's just making sure that, you see these artists' names along some of the more established bigger names and knowing that there's a correlation. And it's, oh, if I'm a fan of this artist, I'll probably be a fan of that. And it's that kind of subconscious approach to things of, oh, these names, I'm seeing them together. But yeah, I mean, I think artists are the core of this industry. You know, they're at the end of the day, they're the ones that we are promoting.
Yeah.
And we, you know, personally, I definitely have a playbook that I use typically for most shows, but I try to gear it the actual actions in the playbook and tailor it to the specific artist.
For sure.
And that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that definitely makes sense. And any memorable highlights throughout like your experience being a marketing director, talent buyer, or working at Arlene's Grocery, like any highlights with interactions with artists, any promotional campaigns marketing wise that you worked on that you're most proud of?
Yeah, a show that was really special to me was actually at Arlene's Grocery. We booked Anthony Green from Circa Survive and now Ellis Dunes, and he has a really amazing solo career as well. And just as someone who grew up from the Philly area, it was just like, you know, we had been grinding, really trying to put the venue, let the world know that the venue is as good as we knew it was. And that was just kind of really a culmination of, you know, the industry at large seeing like, this is a place that can do an underplay. This is a place that can, you know, handle this. And he was so wonderful to work with. He was so kind, you know. So that one really stands out from the talent buying perspective. From the marketing perspective, I mean, there's been a couple things that have been really rewarding. We've started doing this thing when an artist is down for it, and it's definitely on the sillier side of things. But I always try to infuse some kind of humor into my campaigns when I can, just because, you know, I think one, it makes it fun, but two, like, I always think about it, like, if I'm having fun doing it, I think a fan or someone experiencing it is also going to have a good time.
Sure.
But we've started for select shows doing cardboard cutouts of the artist. You know, doing like not quite like fake Instagram takeovers, but like having, you know, we had Devendra Banhart at one of our venues, and we took his cardboard cutout and gave it a tour of the monuments in DC and like documented it on socials. And it was just,
oh, that's funny.
Really, it was really fun. It was really funny. His team loved it. And it's just kind of, you know, also like at the end of the day, it's, you know, it's, we're promoting concerts. We're promoting a good time for people. It's escapism.
Sure.
And having that kind of like goofy, funny, like weird thing, to have like the response from it, the artist team response from it. Mm-hmm. My team at work had a really good time executing it. It was just really rewarding. And it's something that I look back at really fondly. And then another one is, and again, this is also feeding, and this is probably goofier, is I've started an annual Shrek party on Halloween weekend at one of my venues, and it's that I work at, and it's just it's a Halloween on the Saturday Shrek party, and it's called the Shrekking Ball, a green tie affair, and it's just the silliest night of the year. And, you know, it's one of those things that, like, you know, most of the time, like I was saying, I'm helping amplify, you know, someone else's vision, artistically,
sure,
and creatively. Mm-hmm. And this was, one of those times where I got to be the person that had the crazy idea. And our first year it sold out. This past year it sold really well. And it's fun to see that, you know, when you have a crazy idea and then people are like, I want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
So that's also, as funny as it is, I'm the DC Shrek guy which is I don't take that lightly.
Yeah. No,
But yeah.
that probably gets a lot of hits for you, especially during the Halloween season, but
Oh
people
yeah.
remember always like catchy, clever, unique, and bizarre things, and that really
Yeah.
resonates with you and others, so.
Definitely. And that's, I'm very much rooted in, building experiences for people. Like
Sure.
a show isn't just a show. I'm kind of obsessive over, this is the second time I've used that word, but the Bill Graham philosophy of promoting concerts, for Bill Graham being, probably the most like the original concert promoter in a lot of ways. He, represents so many artists. He built, concert promoting as we know it in a lot of ways. And a saying of his that has really resonated for me is, if they have a bad time in the parking lot, they're gonna have a bad time at the show. And it's really just, we're like trying to steward people's good times,
Sure,
because
yeah.
they're spending their hard-earned money, and they go in expecting a level of excellence, and even if they don't know that they're expecting it, they're expecting to have fun and a
Yeah.
good time and escape from whatever is in their day-to-day. And I really take that to heart, that people choose to spend their time and their hard-earned money on the events that we throw. And I as lighthearted as I can be with things, I don't take it lightly when people invest their time and money, especially in this economy, into the events that we throw. So
Sure,
I really
yeah.
try to live by that.
You want to make the most for the audience to have their buck earned.
Exactly, and create that those memories and those experiences.
And I know you have more exciting experiences coming up as well. What is
Yeah.
one of the exciting experiences professionally that you have coming up for the new year in January?
We, work with Union Stage Presents, where I work. You were coming off a year with over 850 promoted shows across our portfolio of venues, so we're looking to do even more next year, and do bigger shows, dream bigger ideas with it. And I'm excited about, the calendar that our bookers are putting together is really exciting, and there's a lot of artists that I personally have been a fan of or been championing for a long time, so I'm excited to get to have my hand in promoting them. I'm also very involved with NIVA, the National Independent Venue Association, with their artist initiative, the Live List. I'm on the committee for that, and we're going to be doing it again next year. And we have some exciting partners that we're working with that, things are developing with at the moment, but I'm just really excited for some activations that are tied into it, and getting to promote, again, artists that I believe in a way that's not just a concert, but helping build their careers.
And I know you love helping uplift artists, but is there anything that you have for yourself personally for the new year? I know we're creating like New Year's resolutions right now. Any personal goals that you have in mind for yourself?
It's funny, I typically, someone, I'm not a big New Year's resolution person, but I think something that has been on my mind a little bit more, that's probably counter to what like the music and specifically the live world is really about, is I'm trying to have a little bit more separation in my life and take some more, personal time, like, feeling okay turning off email notifications on my phone after, like, I log off for the day, and just kind of living in the moment more.
Yeah, that's important
Yeah.
to have that balance between work and the social life and turning off the digital media at some points and just kind of experiencing relaxation.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it's especially with the live events industry being, you know, when I log off my computer, the events start. So like I you know, it's kind of one of those things I've been trained for my whole career of like you got to be available, you got to be online, but you know, I really trust the team that I work with, and letting that trust in them, just like how they trust in me to do my job, and knowing that they'll execute things, and letting myself feel that.
And to wrap up our episode, any one or two pieces of advice, if you could sum it up in a minute, any pieces
Ooh.
of advice that you're able to share in terms of working in the industry and music or being an artist or trying to break in, any wisdom or parting words that you want to share?
One thing that I've always, you know, it's kind of something that I live by is be kind. You know, I think this is a really tense, difficult industry, and it's just being kind really can get you far. It's something that, you know, I really try to live by, and it's served me well, not just from, you know, a like self-serving way, but also just, you know, like it's the right thing to do is to be nice to people. You never know what someone else's situation is, and just, you know, going in with a benefit of the doubt is always really nice. And then, I mean, also, you know, working just it's crazy how just working hard can help you as well. You know, it's something that especially in my, you know, the earlier days of my career, I just, you know, worked my ass off, and just, you know, I was at the venue probably an unhealthy amount, but it instilled in me a work ethic that
Sure.
was really, you know, helpful. And I always knew that even if I wasn't the best at something, if I wasn't the smartest in a specific realm, if I could outwork someone and my, you know, and care and be dedicated, that's gonna serve me well. And you know, I am there is the other side of that coin that I'm trying to unlearn right now, but finding that balance of working hard but taking care of yourself, I think will serve you well.
No, that's really good advice, having that balance, because at times we feel like the industry can take us over. So it's always good to have, like, to work in the industry and find your passion and craft, but also at the same time, appreciate yourself and take that breather.
Yeah, definitely. And knowing when too, like listening to, you know, your body with burnout. 'Cause if you feel yourself burning out, that's something that, you know, being open to, you know, taking some time for yourself if it's possible, and really recharging in whatever way you recharge, whether it's, you know, you go like whatever helps you, just listening to yourself and your body on it, because
For
if you're
sure.
burning yourself out, it's not going to be good in the long run.
Well, thank you, Jake, for being on the podcast. Wishing you great success in this upcoming year and looking forward to hearing more about your adventures within the live event space, and looking forward to seeing you help uplift more artists from the ground up in the DC and East Coast New York areas.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me. This was really fun.
Thank you for tuning in to this week's episode of the Media Industry Guru podcast. Check out the Instagram at Media Industry Guru for all the details on the latest and coolest, I mean coolest, upcoming episodes that you will hear. Email at mediaindustrygurupodcast@gmail.com for any other interviews that you would like to hear, or if you would like to be on the air and give a little promo or talk about yourself, or just even chat with me, because you know I'm doing this, I'm invested in this. And tune in weekly, 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern, on Tuesdays on the Anchor app, Spotify, Stitcher, Pocket Cast, Breaker, and many more streaming platforms. Thanks again for all of the support, and peace out, and let's rock and roll.